Welcome to A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood with your host, Angela Jones. Presented by Brighter Day Law, listen to the stories of the people who make Colorado Springs a great place to live and make our world better every day. We want to give back to those who give so much to us.
Good morning, Colorado Springs. It's another Brighter Day in the Neighborhood, and I'm your host, Angela Jones of Brighter Day Law. And today we have with us Megan Thomas. Welcome, Megan.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Megan, as we were kind of chatting about on the way up, you're from Colorado, but you spent some time in Kansas.
I did. So I went to school at Baker University in Lawrence, Kansas. And when I graduated, I had been working as an intern at the Lawrence Journal World newspaper. So I stayed on there for quite a few months after I graduated, but it's not Colorado Springs. So no, I'm back.
No. So back in the Springs, I see that you're doing a couple different things. You have a marketing and PR company. Mm-hmm. You also run a singles group called Single in the Springs.
Yep.
And so how does your journalism background and all of that tie in?
Yeah. So I have a very strange background, because I've bounced around in a lot of different things that are all journalism related.
Okay.
So I worked as a reporter. And then when I moved back to Colorado Springs, I helped travel bloggers kind of find their voice and things like that. So that's how Springs Native originally got its start, is I moved back and I loved food and I loved finding new places. And there were no other blogs at the time in Colorado Springs that were food related. And so I was helping all these travel bloggers, and I was like, well, if they're doing this, I could do this on more of a local level. And so that's how Springs Native started. And it was just meant to help businesses. I don't post anything bad. Place is bad, I just don't write about it. But but so that's kind of how Springs Native got started. And then mm-hmm. that was my job. And then from there, I worked at a retirement community, and I did marketing and sales there. And I learned a lot about the community and being a member of the community and community relations. And then from there, I worked for a short time at a digital agency that taught me a lot about how not to run a business.
Oh, how funny.
And then I moved on back into working at Springs Magazine before opening my own agency.
Oh,
so
nice.
I've kind of bounced all over the place, learned a lot about the city, learned a lot about what I like and don't like, and how to treat people and be a part of the community. So it's all kind of goes together, right?
Yeah, yeah. So let's delve into that just a little bit. This idea about sometimes like the things that don't work out well uh-huh. are the things we learn the most about, without naming
Absolutely.
Any names. What were your sort of takeaways about things not to do
you
in
know,
running business?
I think it's so important to take care of the people who work for you or work with you. And communicating is so, so important. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you look out for others, they're going to look out for you. And unfortunately, sometimes that's not true.
Yeah, sure.
But for the most, I really believe in when you take care of people and when you do things with, you know, a kind heart and with good intentions, mm-hmm. that's going to come back to you. And so I think kind of, you know, seeing that, not taking advantage of people, I think especially mm-hmm. in my line of work, restaurants work on very small margins.
Right.
They don't have a ton of money. They don't have a lot of things, a lot of just cash to throw at people. So I really work hard to make sure that I'm giving them value and that I'm doing what I can to help them. And if, you know, we need to work in a little wiggle room or figure out what's going to work for them, mm-hmm. I'm always available to do that. And I think working at an agency that wasn't really their what they did, it really taught me like, I don't feel good about this.
Yeah.
This doesn't make me feel like I'm helping this client. And, you know, I love working with my clients and being a part of their business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to go in and see someone and have a good relationship with them and then email them later and say, by the way, here's a big bill that I know you probably can't afford.
Right,
so, you know, finding ways to compromise and make sure that you have to get paid. You need to get paid for what you do, but also,
sure.
you know, find ways to make it work for everyone so it is a fair transaction. I think that's really important.
You're right. So one of the things that actually I had a lunch yesterday mm-hmm. with a woman who has devoted, you know, a great deal of her volunteer time in mm-hmm. supporting women who are going through divorce, specifically
right.
women. And just like a support group, it's mm-hmm. like a free Facebook support group. And as part of our discussion about the support group and attorneys and, you know, et cetera, the word expensive mm-hmm. came up. And I think what we both sort of concluded as part of that discussion is, you know, words like expensive, you know, they're judgments. Mm-hmm. about, you know, whether or not what you've traded for the services, you know, was justified, you know, for the value received. Right. And so I think that you really cueing in on this idea of value mm-hmm. and providing value, as opposed to you just making it clearly quid pro quo or mm-hmm. just an exchange or, hey, I'm here, I'll help you. But, you know, at the end of the day, what I really care about mm-hmm. is my interest.
Right.
And that's a big part of, like you had talked about sales earlier, a right. big part of that. It's subtle, but important.
And that's why I was never that good at sales.
Okay. Let's talk about sales
I was good at sales because I would go in, I make friends with people easily. I don't, you know, I tell it like it is. I'm going to be honest. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. if someone wants to buy something from me or wanted to make some type of transaction, if they liked what I had to say, they knew that I was telling the truth, because if they said, mm-hmm. well, what about this? I would tell them the good and the bad. Mm. However, you know, you have to be really, really pushy. I did some ad sales for a magazine, and then, you know, I was selling retirement community apartments are expensive. Mm. And so, you know, if someone told me this is my budget and I said, well, this is all we can offer you. And they're like, well, should I do this? It's hard for me to tell them, yeah, you should pay way above your budget because I'm thinking of my grandma and thinking, someone better not be telling my grandma that she should go above her budget, because what does that mean for her? You know, I don't know their detailed financials. And so the same when it comes to advertising as a small business for a magazine, it was hard for me to keep pushing them when I knew that it might not be the best fit for them. Well, so it made me a good salesperson in terms of, if you came to me, you knew I was honest. So when maybe you couldn't buy right now, when the time was right, you knew I was going to tell you exactly what it was and what you were going to get. If they were teeter-tottering, I wasn't going to be there to push them over the edge.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you're very others-focused, and, you know, the approach that I think the word sales also is one of those words that can get very charged mm-hmm. emotionally, because, you know, we've all been into the used car lot. Right. Salesperson thing, you know, and it's uncomfortable, and we feel like we are being, again, it becomes them, you mm-hmm. know, they're focused on their right. goal as opposed to coming in and understanding what are your goals? What right. do you need? And I think sales, so to speak, becomes extraordinarily easy mm-hmm. when you know what the person needs, and you know that what you have is exactly what they need.
Right. And so it's interesting you say that. So I started Springs Native Creative, which is my mm-hmm. marketing PR agency mm-hmm. At the beginning of the pandemic. I was helping Mark Anthony's Pretzels for free. Mm-hmm. He ended up becoming a paying client, but yeah. I just was like, I lost my job at the magazine. I wasn't really sure what I was going to do. I had free time. I saw that he needed help, and I said, hey, let me help you. You're not going to survive this pandemic. And it turned out that, you know, he was able to really create an extraordinary retail business that he'd never done, because he was a wholesale pretzel provider previously. Okay. And from that, I had a lot of clients, people who knew me, people who trusted me, come to me mm-hmm. and say, hey, will you do this for me as well? And all of a sudden, I had all of these clients. And at some point, you know, I have a lot of friends who work in the similar industry mm-hmm, mm-hmm. who said, you know, are you actually going to practice what you preach and, you know, get your website going, get your social mm-hmm, media going and mm-hmm. all these things. And at first I was like, it looks like I'm not a real business because I don't have a springsnativecreative.com.
Right.
And I finally decided after meeting with some people who had reached out to me who I didn't know and things mm-hmm. and maybe were trying to argue with me on price a lot that I didn't want to create a website because I work fully on referral. And if you don't think that you want to hire me and I have to convince you, then you're never going to value what it is that I sell. Because social media and PR especially, mm-hmm. is not something that you can put a real number of a return on, right?
Gotcha.
And so you have to show people that you have to let people come to you and say, I see all this stuff that's happening for this other person mm-hmm. and I want that to happen for me. And I know that you're the one making this happen. If you say, well, I've done all this stuff and they don't understand the value behind it, mm-hmm. then they're never going to pay you what you deserve. Mm-hmm. And you're going to spend all of your time and energy trying to please someone who's never going to be happy because they don't understand.
Gotcha.
So while I do have plans to eventually get a website up. A lot of it is just that I would rather work with people who really, really want to work with me, because I know that those people are going to be really appreciative and be easy to work with. And I would much rather work with someone who's easy to work with and maybe has a slightly smaller budget than work with someone who's going to pay me a lot of money and be a complete nightmare.
Gotcha.
Which I have done. Right. And it did not work out. And I parted ways with them because it was not worth the money. And a lot of times it's not.
Yeah, we call those F clients or forget it or other things that you might attach to F in that regard. And the bottom line is, you know, when you remain involved with someone who's not happy with what you're providing, you're really not doing them any favors, because you really need to release them to go and engage, you know, with something that's an appropriate fit.
Right. And sometimes they realize that because they don't understand, a lot of people don't understand social media and PR. So a lot of times what will happen is they will hire someone else who they think will help them, and then they will fire them right away, and they will hire someone else, and then they will come back and say, hey, so we realized we made a mistake. And that's when you say, well,
sorry,
I did not make a mistake.
Right.
So I can give you the names of a few other people, but, you know, they kind of realize what happened typically. And this is not just with me. This is with most of my friends who also work in social media and marketing and, you know, digital marketing. I think all of us kind of struggle with this sometimes, because it's something that everyone thinks they can do, but they don't fully understand it. And so, you know, when it comes to cutting who they're paying or cutting bills, that tends to be the first thing that goes, because they think, oh, well, we can do it on our own. And it's like, are you really going to do it on your own? Are you going to do it effectively on your own? And do you understand it as well as you think you do? Because you hired me in the first place for a reason. So it's very interesting to see when that happens, how people handle that.
Right. So if I give you like the shot, like, just explain it. What is it that people don't get about PR specifically?
I think people don't understand that everything, at least in my experience and and the way that I operate, everything is about authenticity. So whether it's a business that is marketing to people, when you post a photo of what you offer at your restaurant or what the photos are on your website or whatever it might be, it needs to look, your food should look like what it looks like all the time.
Right.
Sure, you want a nicer photo of the food.
Sure.
But if you're showing, it's like when you go to McDonald's and you see the picture of this burger that you saw on TV, and then you get your burger in the bag and you're like, this does not look like what I was advertised.
Right.
You know, fast food places, big chains, they can get away with that. Small businesses, they will get destroyed on social media. So it's really important to, you know, authenticity. Show exactly what you have. Don't make up things that you offer that aren't really there. And just be yourself. So even with Springs Native, my food blog, I think the reason that it really took off is because, well, when I was younger, I used to go get drunk and post videos of myself.
Oh my goodness.
Not like inappropriate videos, but people were like, she's a 20, 24, 25 year old girl, and she went out and had fun with her friends.
Right.
And she like took fun videos of them like eating and like talking to the bartender or whatever it was. And people liked it. Obviously, at some point it was like, yeah, you can't post those anymore.
Right.
And I don't. But people loved that, like, this is really who I am. Like, when I tell you I love a place, I really love a place. And you know that because I just post embarrassing photos of myself, like, is who I am, and you get what you get. And I think with Single in the Springs, it's the same with that as well. You know, when we talk about dating, we talk about, you know, maybe I've been a bad date. I know that I'm not perfect. I know that people have gone on dates with me and are like, that girl is not great.
Right.
But also, you know, there have been plenty of people who I've been on dates with who maybe I didn't necessarily like them for myself, or I wasn't attracted to them, but they were really great people. And, you know, they were authentically themselves, and I appreciate that in someone. And so I think that that is, in general, no matter whether it's for your business or even for yourself, if you're single, I think that's the best way you can find customers and attract them. And I think people want to show something that's just so much prettier than it really is. And that doesn't attract a customer who's going to stay with you forever, because they're not going to feel that connection, and they're going to know that it's not real. And so through whether it's for clients, whether it's for my food blog, whether it's for Single in the Springs or whatever it is I'm doing, I think it's so important to just be really authentically who you are. The clients who don't really appreciate that, like, I kind of have a potty mouth and I talk about my dating life on a podcast and I post about probably competitors on my blog. And if you come to me and you don't want any of those things, then I'm not going to be a good fit. And that's okay. I can refer you to people who will be, and I'm totally happy to do that. But we're going to work together best if you know who I am and you know what I'm going to do for you. And it works both ways.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're listening to A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood. I'm your host, Angela Jones, and here with our special guest, Megan Thomas, of Springs Native and Springs Native Creative and Single in the Springs.
Yes.
So, you know, you reminded me when we were talking a little bit earlier about, you know, that false advertising that really tends to come up, from what I understand. I haven't been in the dating pool in quite some time, but that really comes up on
it, like, really
dating photo profiles, things like that. Let's talk about that some.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. False advertising on advertising on dating profiles is fascinating to me. Actually, I have a great story that I'll tell you that is very funny.
Okay.
I matched with this guy. This was probably 5 or 6 years ago. I matched with this guy on a dating app. And I had remembered, I had, like, we chatted a little bit and said, like, maybe we should get drinks or something sometime. And I'd remembered his profile. And he mentioned he went to a yoga class when we were chatting for the very first time. He went to a yoga class that day.
Okay.
So as we were chatting, after he said that we should get a drink, I was like, let me go look at his profile again really quick to make sure that I liked this guy. And all of a sudden his profile said, like, in under, like, interests, it said yoga. And so I messaged him and I said, messaged him a screenshot of it and said, didn't you say that you just took your first yoga class today?
Yeah.
So we never ended up getting drinks, but I was just like, you've taken one yoga class. Like, you can't put that's your hobby. You've done it one time.
It's interested.
It's not the same. A few years later, my friend tells me about this guy she's dating, and I don't know, for whatever reason, I just felt like it was this guy. I'd never even gone on a date with him, but for some reason, I was like, I don't know why. I have a feeling. I think this is the same guy. I was like, send me a photo of him. She sends me a photo. I could not stop laughing. It was the same guy changed his hobbies to yoga.
Oh, really?
And so I kind of told her what happened. And so she mentioned it to him, and she was like, he was so embarrassed after that. But it was one of those things where it's like, if he would have just been authentically himself, I never would have said, why would you change it to say yoga?
Right.
I also went on a blind date about a year ago, and under this guy's interest, he had said he loves to go wine tasting. And I love wine. I work in the food industry, so, like, wine and food are really important to me. And I was like, oh, that sounds great. So on the date, I was like, so tell me more about, like, it said your interest was, like, wine tasting. Tell me more about that. And he goes, well, I went wine tasting once with, like, some colleagues when we were on a trip in California. And I was like, so you've been wine tasting once? I was like, that's not a hobby. That's you did it one time. That's great if you want to do it again. But, like, what kind of wine do you drink? Do you have any other interests? He's like, no, I just went that one time. And I was like, why would you put that in your profile? I mean, it's very obvious that, like, maybe you enjoyed it. Sure. That's great. And you can totally enjoy something and do it once, but that doesn't necessarily make it a hobby. And I was just like, I don't really know that we have a lot in common.
Right.
So it's very interesting to see what people decide to show about themselves to make themselves sound more interesting. But instead of making yourself sound more interesting, it's so much more important to say, these are things I really like, and these are things I really don't.
Right.
So that's fascinating.
Well, have you found, though, in interacting with singles, though, because it's certainly something I think is just in us as people, or some, especially when you're in the dating realm and you're sort of feel like you have to sell yourself, that what we ultimately end up sometimes doing is abandoning ourselves. Like, you know, oh, I met this guy who likes football, so now all of a sudden I'm a football fan.
Right.
Oh, wait, now I met, you know, like, oh, I went out with this gal and she likes.
That totally happens a lot. And I think there's something really important that I can't remember. Some social media influencer I follow a lot of like dating podcasts and things like that. So I absorb a lot of dating content. So I can't remember who it was, but she said something. When you go on a date, you shouldn't be worried about if they like you. Mm-hmm. You need to decide if you like them instead. So instead of getting super anxious going on this date, yeah, of course you want to make a good impression. You should want to make a good impression with people all the time. But when you go on a date, you really shouldn't be so worried about, are they going to like me? Mm. Are you going to like them? Do you even like them? Are you wanting them to ask you on a second date because you want that like affirmation that you're good enough for a second date? Or do you just not even really want to go on a second date at all?
Right.
Like, if they don't want to go on a second date with you and you don't want to go on a second date with them, you shouldn't be offended. Some people just aren't matches, and that's okay.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting to see the people who change what their hobbies are, or their interests are. They all of a sudden have this big interest in sports or the outdoors. That's, I think, a big one in Colorado. Mm. I like the outdoors, but I'm not someone who wants to go backpacking or mountain climbing or any rock climbing. Like, I'm never going to want to go rock climbing.
You know what? I love not camping.
Yeah. You know what I love? Getting drinks at the Broadmoor.
Right.
That is much more my speed. But I also do like fishing. I don't want to go fishing every single weekend, but I enjoy it.
Well,
but
you I could not date because I love to fish.
But you know what I mean? So I'm not, I might, if in my list of interests, I'm not going to put fishing. If someone asks me if I like it, yeah, of course I do. But that's not like my number one thing I want to do with my free time. Yeah. So it's really trying to like figure out, what do I really like and what are my priorities? And then remembering that just because you're looking at someone's profile and they don't have exactly the same things as you doesn't mean you're not going to be a fit.
Right.
Because why would I put fishing if I want to go three times a year? But maybe with the right person, I would want to go a couple more times. Mm. Not all the time. That's not my number one priority, but I might want to go a little bit more.
Would someone putting fishing winnow them out for you, though? Or
no,
would you look more into like, hey, how often do you fish? What are you talking about here?
I think that you should have different interests than your partner.
Mm.
So to me, it doesn't really matter. As long as you don't care that I'm not going to be doing those things with you, I don't really see what the problem is.
Right.
But for example, I don't really ski or snowboard. I'll go a couple times a season, but I don't have a ski pass. Mm-hmm. I just, not my thing. But a lot of guys will be like Icon, or, well, not even just guys, a lot of people in Colorado, their dating profiles will be like Icon or Epic for like, which pass do you have?
Right.
And it's like, I don't have a pass, but I would love to go to the mountains every weekend and like sit and read next to a fire. That sounds like such a perfect weekend to me. I would go every weekend with you to go skiing or snowboarding. I just don't want to be on the mountain. Right. And I don't think you want me on the mountain with you.
No.
So I think for some people, it just gets very interesting seeing what do they decide to prioritize.
Right.
I've also noticed men who are attracted to women accidentally make their dating profiles for other men.
Hmm.
So this is a theory I have, and I have it based on a lot of guys who show, my guy friends show me their dating apps.
Okay.
They'll show me their profile and they'll say, I'm really having trouble attracting a girl who I like. And I'm like, well, let me see your profile. And it'll be like a bunch of pictures of them looking like bros is like the best way for me to put it. I don't know how else to put that, but it'll be like a picture of them, like all these cool pictures. They're doing really cool stuff in them. Don't get me wrong, but you can't see their face. You don't know which one they are. you don't know what they dress like on a normal basis. It's just like, who are you?
Right.
And so my guy friend, sometimes I'll be like, I don't know if I want to swipe. Like if we're sitting down, sometimes we'll like swipe for each other. And I'll be like, I don't know if I want to swipe on this guy because I can't tell what he looks like. And my friend will be like, that guy looks awesome. And I'm like, yeah, he looks like fun, but what does he look like? Like, I can't even see his face in this picture. So I kind of had to be like, listen, when you're making your profile, you need a picture of your face, a close up, so they know what you look like. Because unfortunately, like, dating apps are about looks.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's one of those things where you hate to say it. That's not all dating is about, but that's what a dating app is. It's a bunch of pictures of you because people want to know if they're attracted to you. And that's not necessarily all about looks either. I suppose it's about what hobbies are you showing. So if you show me a guy who only is doing all this crazy outdoor stuff, I'm not gonna say no to him, but I am going to be like, oh man, I hope he thinks I'm interesting, you know, because I don't do any of those things. So, but guys do tend to have, you know, all these crazy photos and you're like, they're really cool, but maybe not for me.
Right.
I don't know, because I don't know what they look like. I don't know. What else do they do? Do they have friends?
Yeah.
Do they have family?
Right.
Like, do they get dressed up and go to weddings, or do they really only go? Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. So let's talk about your, we have a few more minutes. Let's talk about your primary interest, which I think you're a foodie. Food and wine seems to be your primary hobby. So let's talk about that.
That is a big hobby for me.
And maybe point out your favorite new restaurant, the one you've went a restaurant you've gone to lately that's sort of a new favorite.
Oh, man. I have a lot of favorites. I don't even know that I have a new favorite. There's been a lot of places that I really love that have been opening. Our downtown Colorado Springs has changed completely. Mm-hmm. Some of the newer restaurants that I love, White Pie opened in April, and they are fantastic. It might have been more like March, but they do New Haven style pizzas. Ooh. And they have this beet hummus that, to me, I actually don't think it sounds that good, but it is just phenomenal. They serve it with these roasted vegetables. It's out of this world. I also really love, this is not a new restaurant, 503W is my all-time favorite restaurant in Colorado Springs.
Okay.
It's always been my favorite restaurant. It's tried and true. The food is amazing. The owner is just a really good person. Mm. You know, sometimes I think you feel better about going somewhere when you know that the people who own it are just great people. Mm-hmm. And they are amazing bartenders. I could eat the little soul bowl from them every single day and be happy. They're really wonderful. And then, of course, you know, another tried and true is Sopra above Paravicini's. So Chef Franco owns Paravicini's and then Ristorante di Sopra, which is above and is a little bit more like the fancy Italian. They make the pastas in-house and they do a lot of different like steaks and other items, and it is just out of this world. Really great for like a date or maybe having like a nice girls' night, get a nice bottle of wine, have, you know, share a bunch of different Italian dishes. It's really good.
I love that.
Yeah.
One of our favorite family meals we ever had was in Venice. We had come off a Mediterranean cruise and we did one of these big, you know, Italian family style meals where they had the pitchers actually of the table wine and just kept bringing. And, you know, and people think, you know, American, Italian dishes or whatever, but really when you really get, you know, Italian dishes with the steak and the seafoods and the handmade
it's
pastas.
It's amazing.
It is incredible. And it's hours. You spend hours doing that.
Yeah. You know, that's the one thing I wish Colorado Springs had more of. We have Jake and Telly's and Caspian Cafe, and both of those places are wonderful.
Very good.
But I would love to see some more really great Mediterranean restaurants in the Springs.
Oh, yeah.
That would be amazing to have.
Yeah. I actually like Taste of Jerusalem, which is downtown. And it's one of the things I love about it. They have a sign on the door that says, if you're hungry, come in.
Yeah.
And so for me, I'm going to just give that little plug and shout out there because I'd love to support restaurants that are really into supporting the people in our community.
Yeah, they're really awesome. I know exactly where you're talking about, actually, because two doors down from them is my favorite boutique in town, the local Honey Collective.
Oh,
my friends Kara and Haley own it. They're really amazing women. They host a ton of events. They're so just wonderful people, really cute store. I want to plug them because you should go shopping
there. Well, I'm going to reach out.
With the holidays coming up.
Yeah.
They're amazing. Can't recommend them enough. They're awesome.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. And maybe we'll reach out and see if we can have them on with us sometime
soon. Yes, you
should.
They're so fun.
We'll absolutely do that. Well, Megan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
I wanted to just give you a sec to let people know how they can get in touch with you since you don't have a website.
Yeah. So I technically have a website for the food blog, which is just springsnative.com. But you can find me on Instagram at springsnative. And you can find me on Facebook as well at springsnative. And then the podcast. So Single in the Springs is not only dating events, but we also have a podcast. We kind of took a little bit of a break over COVID, but we are going to start recording and have new episodes coming up. So you can find us on Apple, Spotify, all the places you can find podcasts. It's Single in the Springs. And then, of course, we're on Instagram and Facebook at Single in the Springs.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And thank you all for joining us for another Brighter Day in the Neighborhood. I'm Angela Jones. You can join me here each Sunday morning. Until next Sunday, have brighter days.
This has been A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood, presented by Brighter Day Law. Heard every Sunday at 11 a.m. on KPPF. 98.5 FM, 1040 AM, and 95.7 FM. Listen to the companion podcast on Podbean. Brighter Day Law are an experienced and qualified team of divorce and family law attorneys. Their aim is to help you get through that emotional and challenging time of divorce and other family disputes. The mission of Brighter Day Law is to compassionately help families resolve their disputes with personalized legal representation while keeping the best interest of the entire family at heart. Their attorneys handle all kinds of family law cases, including child custody, divorce, high asset divorce, mediation, and alimony. Brighter Day Law, compassionate counsel in dark and stressful times. 225-4493 or at brighterdaylaw.com.